Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this evening is written in John chapter 18, beginning with the fourth verse. Please rise for the reading of the sermon text. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So, if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?" So far the text. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Of course, it was Peter. He is the one who had hands of misguided zeal. All four gospel accounts record the events in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's only the Gospel of John, however, that records it as Peter. Peter is the one who drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Imagine if John didn't record that it was Peter. Imagine that it was up to you to decide who was the guilty party. Would one of your first thoughts be, "That sounds like something Peter would do"? Simon Peter was one of the Lord's first and closest followers. Since he often took the lead, he had the label of the unofficial leader of the disciples. This wasn't necessarily bad. After Jesus asked the 12 who he was, Peter exclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Jesus walked on the water, Peter was the one who got out of the boat to meet him. In the upper room, right before the events of the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus predicted that his disciples would abandon him. Peter was the first disciple to say that he'd rather die than disown his Savior. Peter's attitude had some strengths, but also some weaknesses. Right after Peter made his beautiful confession of faith, he took Jesus aside. He tried to convince Jesus that going the way of the cross and dying was not part of the Messiah's mission. Jesus strongly rebuked him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter probably didn't forget the stinging remark, but it also seems like he had a hard time understanding it. This seems to be the case because tonight he's doing something very similar. This time, instead of using his words, he uses force. We know why Jesus' enemies came to the garden. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. Peter used his weapon for a very different reason. It was out of love for his Savior. He was serious about giving his life for Jesus. Peter had what he considered a righteous zeal. It turns out that his zeal was misguided. You and I love Jesus too. When we see his word mistreated in the world, it can make us feel upset. We want to do something about it. We want to defend and protect Jesus. It's good and right to want to do that, but we need to make sure that we don't go too far. We need to be careful that we don't go against God's word and become guilty of having hands of misguided zeal. Not only does the Gospel of John record that Peter attacked the servant, but it's also the only gospel that records something else. Something else that shows who was really in control of the situation that night. And it wasn't the Jewish leaders or the soldiers. Instead of running off to hide, Jesus went out to meet his captors. As true God, he knew everything that was going to happen. He knew the answer to the question that he asked them. Whom do you seek? They wanted Jesus. They wanted to kill him. The only reason that they were successful this time was because Jesus' time had come. Jesus declared, "I am he." In the Old Testament, God told Moses, "I am who I am." "I am" is another name for God. When Jesus said his name, "I am," they drew back and toppled over. Jesus had everything in hand. Even though Jesus was outnumbered, he was the one giving orders. The situation was in his control. He had every right to defend himself. But instead, he was concerned about his disciples. He told the mob, "If you seek me, let these men go." He did this fulfilling the promise he made that he would protect his own. Peter had seen the crowd fall over in response to Jesus' words. He had seen them fallen over, but instead of going along with the peaceful release that Jesus negotiated, Peter thought Jesus needed help. He took matters into his own hands. Without any warning, he took out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. What was going on in Peter's mind? One possibility is that he wasn't thinking. Maybe his instincts and emotions took over when he saw the hostile crowd around Jesus. Or maybe he didn't think things through. He was going to give his life for Jesus. His Savior needed help, and he was coming to the rescue. There's nothing wrong with wanting to help a friend, but Jesus doesn't need any help. He didn't ask Peter for any help either. He's true God. God knows everything. He controls everything. As Christ's disciple, Peter should have known that. Peter was guilty of physical violence, but also something much more. In deciding to help Jesus, Peter showed a lack of understanding. And even more than that, a lack of trust in God. Peter should have known that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies about him, fulfilling Scripture, and going to Calvary. Instead, he thought violence was needed to protect Jesus. It can be hard for us to think of similarities between Peter and other Christians. We can think up examples like the Crusades or the Inquisition. Maybe the recent Christian extremist bombing of an abortion clinic. But overall, modern Christianity is a peaceful religion. We also understand that any physical violence against another person is a breaking of the fifth commandment. But how about doubting God's power? We can relate to that. Our sinful nature is always denying Christ, always having a lack of trust in him. We can fall into the trap of thinking that we need to help God out in some way. It's easy to think, if only the right political leaders could elect it again, or if we pass the right legislation, then our nation will be Christian again. Or if our church only had more programs for families and didn't talk as much about sin and acted more like some other churches in the area, then our congregation would grow. If we only did this, then things would get better. God just needs a little bit of our help. We're sinners. We need a Savior just like Peter. You don't have to hold a sword to identify with Peter. You probably don't have to remember or try to remember very hard a time when you were misguided. God wants upright leaders. He wants healthy churches. God even wants Christians with a righteous zeal. But God wants our actions to show that we trust him, that our trust is in him. He wants us to use his word, his revealed will, as our guide. He wants us to understand that our life unravels very quickly without him and without trust in him. Jesus reprimanded Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Why was Jesus so upset? He knew what was about to happen. He knew that there was only one way for sins to be forgiven. He knew that there was only one way to heaven. God the Father's plan required that his son would be arrested that night and executed the next day. His plan was carried out to perfection when our perfect substitute died in our place. Jesus went willingly to the cross. In doing this, he showed how much he loved his misguided disciple, Peter. He did this to show how much he loves you and me. John provides several unique examples of what happened that night. But he doesn't tell us what happened to the servant. It's the Gospel of Luke that explains that Jesus reached out his hand and touched the servant's ear and healed him. This was Jesus' final miracle before the crucifixion. Why did he do this? Why did he heal the servant's ear? Why was he so willing to help his enemy? It's because that's who Jesus is. It's what he does. He came into the world to seek and save. Jesus is full of compassion and mercy. This is the reason why a couple of hours later, after he healed the servant, that he stretched out his hands on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Upon the cross, he saved Peter from his hands of misguided zeal, as well as ours. He saved us from our lack of trust. He saved us by offering up his holy hands in love, nailed to the cross. By his wounds, we are healed. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.